This week we are continuing our trek, but we are at least past the halfway point. And hopefully that is also true with regard to the presidency of one Donald J. Trump. See, not only has COVID caused an end to the ever-growing streak of economic growth in America, but it's also seemingly disrupted Donald Trump's ability to be impervious to any measures of accountability. Iran has issued a warrant for his arrest regarding the drone attack months back that killed Iranian General Soleimani. Something that we talked about in this show, dedicated to that incident when it happened. Trump's niece has published a book about Trump, and her publishing company won the rights to distribute it. John Bolton has also finally published his book after several attempts to have it blocked by the White House. Donald Trump's war on social media has been taken up a notch as multiple platforms have taken down his post or issued corrections. Our fact-checking messages. Meanwhile, he has tried to repeal protections for social media and has threatened to take them down. He has also stated that he is using his power to slow the rate of testing in America amid a growing surge in new COVID cases following states reopening and protests continuing. The single day record for new cases was broken twice by America last week, with estimates that it's going to continue to rise and get worse. The protests themselves, however, have turned a corner and have seemingly finished shedding their racial beginnings to now be the new version of the Occupy movement, LGBT rights, and the police reform in general. Not that I have a problem with any of those things, but it does mean that black people are once again placed on the back burner. All in all, it's been a busy week, but let's continue. Let's get into our show about a $2 trillion stimulus package. The hell I'ma do with that?
This is Lessons from the Screen. John Boy.
Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. Lessons from the Screen, as always, is sponsored by PAX Inc., a black activist advocacy and think tank organization with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for black people in America through a focus on education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's PAXinc.org. Go ahead over there, check them out. Check out the Learning Center. Leave a donation, become a member, volunteer, tell a friend to tell a friend. Do whatever you can to help them. You know the spiel. You know what it is. You know what it do. Because we do what we do every single time we do what we do. And so do they. And so do you. So let's keep making it do what it do, baby. And without further ado, let's get right on into this show on HR 728. We are going to be focusing on Subtitle D, the Finance Committee. So we're starting with section 3701, I'm sorry, and with these, so there are 20 sections in this particular subtitle. So we're going to be doing the first 10 this week with this show, and the next show that we drop is going to be the last 10. And like I said, we are halfway through with this thing, so bear with me. But I'm actually pretty happy about the way this is going. It's taking a little bit longer than I would like to drop the to get the shows dropped and whatnot, but you know, you do what you can with what you got, and it is what it is on that note. So we're gonna start right on in with section 3701. Am I dyslexic and I'm just not realizing it? No, I'm probably not. I just can't read. Anyways, so we're gonna start in on 3701, said it right that time, which focuses on exemption for telehealth services. And this section gives people with high deductible health plans, HDHPs, for health savings account purposes, HSAs, to have telehealth coverage. It also ensures that health plans that don't have a deductible for telehealth services will not fail to qualify as HDHPs for that reason alone. Now, this is significant because in order to qualify for an HSA, you have to have an HDHP. And HDHPs are health plans that have higher deductibles and lower premiums than normal. The goal with them is to drive consumer drive consumer-driven healthcare. You pay less each month, but you pay more when you need healthcare. HSAs are medical savings accounts that are available to people enrolled in HDHPs that allows them to pay into the account without paying taxes on the money placed into the account. And HSAs are federally insured and roll over each year, so they compound interest. These funds can be used to pay for qualified medical expenses without federal tax liability or penalty. And withdrawals for reasons other than health reasons are permitted and are treated similarly to individual retirement accounts. Now, so there's been a wave actually for a number of years now, people using HSAs as retirement accounts because of the way withdrawals for non-medical related expenses are treated. And because of the fact that a lot of people, especially if you're young and you're doing well, you're healthy and you're not going to go to the doctor a lot, it's not necessarily, and even if you're not young, if you're middle-aged or whatever the case might be, but if you're not somebody that goes to the doctor a lot, it doesn't make sense to pay high premiums for low deductibles when you're not going to go to the doctor. It makes a lot more sense to pay low premiums and then pay a little bit more when you do have to go to the doctor, because it allows you to keep more of your money in your pocket. And with HSAs, it allows you to put some of that extra money into an actual savings account, an interest-bearing savings account, an interest-bearing federally insured savings account, an interest-bearing federally insured savings account that you can withdraw money from without tax penalty when you need it for medical expenses. And when you pull it out for non-medical expenses, it's treated like an IRA, a retirement account. Why not use that? It's like the best of all worlds. Anyways, so yeah, that's pretty awesome that now telehealth coverage is added into that mix there, and HDHPs that don't have telehealth coverage won't be removed from any sort of HSA program for not having telehealth service. That's pretty dope there. 3702 is the inclusion of certain over-the-counter medical products as qualified medical expenses. And this section adds menstrual products to the qualifying purchases list under HSAs, Archer Medical Savings Accounts, MSAs, Health Flexible Spending Arrangements, FSAs, and Health Reimbursement Arrangements, HRAs. And drugs don't have to be purchased with a prescription, and the changes apply to all purchases made in 2020, meaning there could be some reimbursements to be had. Now, the interesting thing here that I find is just the wording of it. Like, this is just about, like, menstrual products, pads, tampons, and anything else that might be used to hold or prevent bodily secretions from ruining clothes or embarrassing people. But it's interesting that they chose this long title for it instead of just saying, hey, this, it could have been called the inclusion of menstrual products as qualified medical expenses. They didn't even have to do all of that. And I don't know. I might just be, but when I read this, I was thinking about a room full of old white guys who are scared to touch pads, tampons, or anything that has to do with menstruation, who are, half of them are probably scared to even say the word menstruation for fear that they're going to break out in some sort of rash or have blood start spewing from their penis or from their assholes or something. I don't know. It was just funny to me to think about, like, why they gave this big long title for something that was so simple. But I know. I'm probably doing too much right now. I get it. So anyways, we're going to move on. We're going to get off of that and move on. And you are welcome. And I simultaneously apologize for that visual I gave you when I talked about blood being secreted from all kinds of orifices on old white guys. But it is what it is. And I had to deal with that thought, and now you have to deal with that thought. So moving forward, section 3703. Increasing Medicare telehealth flexibilities during the emergency period. Now, this section allows the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS, to waive any requirements relating to telehealth services coverage, telehealth service coverage under Medicare. And that's pretty self-explanatory. Section 3704 focuses on enhancing Medicare telehealth services for federally qualified health centers and rural health clinics during the emergency period. Now, this section mandates that during the emergency period, the Secretary of Health will pay for telehealth services furnished by federally qualified health centers or rural health clinics to eligible telehealth individuals, even if the service is at the same location as the beneficiary. Now, the Secretary has to develop and implement payment methods, and those methods have to be based on payment rates similar to the national average payment rates for comparable telehealth services. The Secretary can implement payment methods through program instruction or otherwise, and costs associated with telehealth services can't be used to determine the amount of payment for federally qualified health center services or for rural health clinic services. Now, this is one of those interesting things for me where it is a case where a pandemic is forcing things that should have already been done to be done. And that's how I feel about this whole, all of this telehealth stuff that's going on right now. I feel like all of this stuff should have been happening. Telehealth should have been a thing. Doctors should have been able to connect remotely to patients, and patients should have been able to connect remotely to doctors. Now, there's a downside to all of this telehealth stuff as well, and we know that given the limited access to technology and high quality video streams and remote transmission equipment and whatnot, that a lot of people aren't going to get the same quality of health care as you would through a telehealth service as you would through an in-person service. But it is a lot easier to have access to healthcare through a telehealth service than it is through an in-person service, especially if you are somebody that doesn't have transportation and doesn't have money for public transportation or lives off of a public transportation line or have any other shortcomings or hardcomings or miscomings or undercomings or overcomings or obstacles to you getting to public health or getting to a health service. So I do concern myself a bit with how this public health stuff is going to play out in terms of Black people getting access, low-income communities getting access to healthcare providers and healthcare services, quality healthcare services. And there's also the issue that a lot of this telehealth stuff is only in place during the emergency period. Now, I personally believe that at some point some of this stuff will be continued outside of the emergency period, but right now it's only in the emergency period. And so I do have concerns about, again, the quality of health and the access to healthcare that a lot of people are going to be getting. I feel like at some point it could become a situation where low-income community members, Black people, and other people that have an unfavorable position in this society will be seen through telehealth services, which will give them an inferior quality of care because they will probably not have access to any sort of HD or 4K or 8K sort of visual streaming or quality resolution devices that will allow a professional to really get a good look at what's happening. And they won't be able to get into a physical space. And so they're left with basically blurry, pixelated healthcare service. And that is something that I don't think is outside the realm of possibilities for what's possible in this country. And it is something that troubles me. But at the moment, I do think that it's a good thing going through COVID, and I also think that it's good for the accessibility, like I said earlier. But like I said, I have my concerns. And at this point, I'm talking in circles, so we're just going to move on to Section 3705. Now, Section 3705 is a temporary waiver of requirements for face-to-face visits between home dialysis patients and physicians. And this section gives CMS the ability to waive face-to-face assessments for dialysis treatment during COVID in favor of telehealth assessments. That's pretty self-explanatory. Anything that causes, especially people that are in that have a compromised immune system, like those undergoing dialysis, anytime that any sort of legislation is put in place that will allow them to safely receive their treatment and their healthcare services and allow healthcare officials to safely administer those services without either potentially coming into contact with the pandemic, the COVID-19, I think is a good thing. So I think this is a good thing. And I feel that way about all of the telehealth services, so I'm not going to repeat that anymore. So you know, we have Section 3706, which is the use of telehealth to conduct face-to-face encounter prior to recertification of eligibility for hospice care during the emergency period. And this section basically does what the title says it does with no extra explanation needed. It allows physicians and nurse practitioners to perform the hospice recertification via telehealth at the discretion of the Secretary of HHS. I don't like, as I repeatedly said, I don't like anything that's at the discretion of one particular person. I don't like that, especially if it's a person that's not necessarily the doctor or the person that's actually administering the service. I tend to have a problem with that. And in this administration, you know, nothing else needs to be said. So then we move on to section 3707, which is encouraging the use of telecommunication system for home health services furnished during the emergency period. And this section mandates that the Secretary of HHS Health and Human Services consider ways to use telecommunication systems for monitoring and communication services. This section, in effect, does absolutely nothing. I mean, this does absolutely jack shit. It mandates that he consider. Like, that's basically like saying that, you know, you are required to think about doing something. That's not basically, that's essentially what it is saying. You're required to think about doing something. The fuck? Anyways, then we move on to section 3708, which is improving care planning for Medicare home health services. And this section allows Medicare payment for home health services ordered by a nurse practitioner, a clinical nurse specialist, or a physician assistant. And this is in place currently because coverage is provided only for services ordered by a physician. So this gives a lot more leeway in terms of people being able to get the services that they need paid for when those services are provided by somebody other than a physician. And any of you guys that may have worked or may have been involved in the situation where you're looking for a physician to do something because nobody else can do it, you'll be grateful for this, especially when there are other qualified people on staff, but legally they just can't do it for whatever reason. So this is a good thing. These changes and regulations for these changes are to be made within 6 months of this legislation being passed at the discretion of the Secretary of HHS. There we go again. Now, Section 3709 is the adjustment of sequestration, and this section exempts Medicare for sequestration orders from May 2020 through the end of 2020 to December. I believe it ends December 31st, 2020. So January 1st, 2021, this will no longer be in effect. And sequestration is an across-the-board cut in funding or spending to the federal budget if Congress enacts a budget that exceeds the legally set budget caps without raising the budget limit. And we've talked about sequestration frequently over the last few years with the government failing, or Congress, shall we say, failing to pass the budget. So anyways, gotta raise the budget caps, otherwise sequestration happens. So and then we move on to the last section we're going to touch on for today, section 3710, which covers Medicare hospice and Medicare hospital inpatient prospective payment system add-on payment for COVID-19 patients during the emergency period. That was a mouthful. Why they got all those P's in there? Anyways, and this increases the payment that would otherwise be made to a hospital that's treating a COVID patient by 20%, and it would build on the CDC's decision to expedite the use of COVID-19 diagnosis to enable better surveillance as well as triggering appropriate payment for these patients. Now, this goes into effect, this went into effect it's retroactively going into effect January 27, 2020, and it lasts through the end of the COVID emergency as declared by the HHS Secretary under the PHSA Section 319. So that's where we stand. That's the end of that. Now, as for that last one, there's been a lot of talk about COVID hospitals milking this COVID thing in order to get additional funding, and about the numbers being inflated by hospitals in order to get additional funding. All of the reports that I've read outside of those from the conservative talking heads have said that that's not happening. And the conservative talking heads that are pushing those are not providing any proof that is happening. They're just using snippets of this particular piece of legislation and others in this piece of legislation and making inferences about what may be happening. And that's not cool. That's really not cool. That's not how that works. You got to provide proof to back up your claims and assertions, or you're a liar. Or at the very least, you are not somebody that should be trusted. Yeah, well, it is what it is. So moving forward and moving on and continuing through, let me know what you think about this. Let me know what you think about this particular section. We'll be coming back next week with part two, finishing this out. Let me know what you think about this particular show and about this series that we're doing. If you like it, if you think we should do it for more things, if you think we should never do this again, just let me know what you think. Share your thoughts. Did I miss something? Did I get something wrong? Did I explain something right? Let me know. And I will see you next week on the next episode of Lessons from the Screen. I hope you enjoy yourself. Stay safe out there and put on your damn mask.
This is Lessons from the screen. John Boy. John Boy.
So thank you guys for listening to the show, to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you always enjoy it. Remember, you can check out all of the shows. All of them are going to be only found on the Freedom Train Network. That's www.freedomtrainradio.com. And that goes, again, for all of the shows on the network. You can only find all of the shows available for all of the shows on the network on Freedom Train website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So go there and check them out. You only get the latest 25 shows, I believe, on the podcast directories. So check us out. Show support for all of the shows we have. Shelby's World, Enigma, Self Hour, The Fix, Sports Podcast, Freedom Train Podcast Series, and all of the other shows that are around. Definitely go and show them love. As for this show in particular, you can check us out. Support us on Patreon.com. That's patreon.com/LFTS. That's patreon.com/LFTS. And there you can drop us, you can show support by sponsoring the show, giving us money every month, giving us money per episode, and just letting us know that you support us. And by doing such things, you allow us to be able to spend more time creating and composing the shows like this series, and shows like a lot of the series that we do take a lot of time to put together. We're talking about hours upon hours upon hours of research, and it'd be nice to be able to take the time to do those shows and do them correctly the way we really want to do them, and also to be able to do them more frequently, because a lot of these shows should probably be done a lot more frequently. So love you, see you next week, hope you have fun.